heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes, as we have a little chat about faith and how to integrate our faith into the different areas of our lives. And on this program, we believe the following. We believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. We also believe that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we believe in the biblical definition of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11. It says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We also believe that we walk by faith and not by sight. And finally, we believe that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, we believe that you will be saved. Thank you so much for joining us today on the program. On this show, we will share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes. So you can go to iTunes and just search Everyday Faith and all the podcasts will pop up. Or you can go to our website. It's mark5ministries.com. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we would love to pray for you no matter what you're going through. And we continue to hold up several of our friends who are battling against cancer. And we ask God to heal them, according to 1 Peter 2:24, that says, by his stripes we were healed. Thanks again for joining us on Everyday Faith. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's special guest. Please stay with us.
If you could save someone's life, would you? Monticello Media, partnering with Virginia Blood Services and the American Cancer Society, invite you to a life-saving blood and platelet drive Sunday, August 6th from 11 until 5 at Albemarle Square. Blood supplies are critically low for cancer patients, the critically ill, and accident victims. You can make a difference. A small amount of your time helps save multiple lives. Have some fun, have some food, and save a life. August 6th at Virginia Blood Services from 11 until 5.
The Charlottesville Tom Sox are in the Valley League Baseball Championship Series for the first time ever. And if you can't make it out to the ballpark, catch all the play-by-play action live on the radio on our sister station, Seville 107.5 FM WCHV. This special radio coverage of Tom Sox baseball is brought to you by Bold Rock Hard Cider, crushed and crafted in the Blue Ridge. Cho Airport, remember to check Cho first. Arosti Rehab Center, they fix pain fast. And by Trinity Irish Pub, down on the UVA corner. Game one is tomorrow night at 7 on our sister station, Seville 107.5 FM WCHV.
And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks so much for joining us today on the program. With us today is my new friend, Tag Tuck. And Tag, I first want to thank you for being on the show. We are mutual friends with a previous guest, Bill Fulkerson. So I just want to say thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, hey, it's my pleasure. I'm really glad to be here, glad to be invited, and to share with you. I'm glad Bill put us in touch with one another.
And you're going to have to. He did an incredible job sharing his testimony, and so I'm going to start there with you, Tag, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about your faith journey and then kind of weave in how did you end up in Charlottesville and kind of give us the story of your life a little bit.
Sure. Well, I actually grew up in Martinsville, Indiana. Not Martinsville, Virginia, but Martinsville, Indiana. It's a small town in southern Indiana. It was a great place to grow up. And I grew up going to church, but not. It was a very cultural thing to do to go to church. It was just something that we did. And if you had asked me, you know, at any point in my life, if I were a Christian, I would have said, well, yeah, sure I am. Cause I figured the definition of that was because I went to church every Sunday. Mm. But there was something that happened to me that changed that. And that was, it all started when I was in high school and I was in marching band. I grew up, I was a band nerd, a saxophonist, and I met my best friend in band. and his name was Brian Lester. And Brian and I had a lot of things in common. We were the same age, we were the same grade, except we both talked about being Christians. Except that Brian, the way Brian lived out being a Christian and the way I lived out being a Christian were very different. For me, Christianity was something that happened on Sunday at church in a building that I never invited any of my friends to. You know, I couldn't have people spend the night on Saturday night because we had to get up and go to church, and we weren't going to take anyone with us there. But Brian invited everybody he knew to his church. He loved having people spend the night on Friday night or on Saturday nights so he could take them to church with him on Sunday. We were both in high school, and Brian carried his Bible in school, like on top of his math book, not like sandwiched under it in between his other books. And he talked about, he had large portions of the Bible memorized and could quote them. And there were little verses here and there that I had memorized. But so I began to see that there was something different about the way that Brian did Christianity than the way that I did Christianity. And then Brian did this great thing. You know, best friends have a great way of poking one another. And Brian just said to me one day that I went to a terrible church. And he told me I went to a terrible church because I had been baptized as a baby. So in his eyes, that didn't count. And he told me that my church was terrible because it didn't practice communion every Sunday. And that was in the Bible that you were supposed to do that. And he just laid these two kind of truth bombs on me. And I wasn't going to let him get away with that. But in order to answer him and to argue back with him, I actually had to open the Bible and read it for myself. And that was the place for me where what had been coloring sheets about Jesus and songs in Sunday school began to be something that was part of using my pre-adult mind to engage God's word. And you know, and you start out with, like you do with a lot of things, like you just kind of like find proof text to throw back at your friends so you can argue with them and things like that. But then more and more, I began reading the Bible and observing what it said. You know, some people say when you read the Bible, you don't just read the Bible, it reads you. And that's really true. And you start by asking it questions and then through the word, it answers your deepest questions. So by the time I went to college, my faith had really become my own. I think my parents went to church more often because I did, rather than them dragging me. I was dragging them, and went to college very afraid because I had heard of, you know, the evils of the secular university. And I went to a state school. It was a very fine music school. Shout out to Indiana University, my alma mater.
Coming to town.
Bloomington.
IU and football, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, and that was a great experience because for the first time, instead of just arguing with other Christians, I actually had friends who weren't Christian, didn't go to church, and had heavy-hitting arguments about the faith. They wanted to know what did science have to do with faith? What did things like that have to say? The first year that I was in school at Indiana, Ravi Zacharias came to the campus.
Yep.
As a part of the Veritas Forum. It was incredible. That spring was just an incredible time where I remember a group of us were out chalking the sidewalks trying to get all our non-Christian friends to come and hear Ravi Zacharias speak. And we thought, as soon as they hear Ravi Zacharias speak, they will bow the knee to Jesus because he's going to just answer all their questions and all of that. Of course, that, you know, it didn't happen like that. But he came, and what really happened was it helped all of us start talking to our friends. And all of us started having, like, maybe I'll call them Brian Lester experiences, where our friends, we had to be a little more out there with our faith and talk about how the Bible actually impacted us, how we actually walked with Jesus so that we could, you know, bear witness and testimony to our friends and answer their questions on their terms and for them to see us as we were. You know, and not just say, oh, yeah, listen to this tape and this will answer all your questions. Like our lives had to answer some of those questions because, you know, the walk of faith is a lived body reality in that sense of it.
So, kind of apologetics 101 for you, living out some apologetics deepened your faith experiences.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it was a scary, thing to, I remember at some point I remember seeing one of Ravi Zacharias's book on my shelf at college. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if Ravi Zacharias believes it, maybe I can too, because it was just, there were just some real faith shaking questions that you run into. And I guess that's one of the things that I would, that I remember and look back on as a time where my faith grew. I knew that I had grown more at a place where I didn't depend on Ravi Zacharias's book on the shelf for my faith anymore. I knew that it was, my own, because I had worked through those arguments. I had found what questions were, you know, were the hardest for me. I mean, probably the hardest question for me at some point was, the conspiracy theory of the resurrection, right? Yes. That the disciples were part of a huge conspiracy theory. In fact, I was talking with a man about this just this morning. He said, you know, the thing that kills that conspiracy theory so quickly is the fact that the tomb that Jesus was in was guarded, and basically guarded by the SEAL Team 6 of the Roman centurions. And there was really no way that 12 fishermen or 12 random guys could engage in a conspiracy like that and have it not be found out. And I always, that's just one of the apologetic questions that I go back to again and again and try and come up with a scenario where maybe it could be a conspiracy theory. And the harder you try, the worse it, the more it fails and doesn't work. Anyway, so that was college, apologetics, growing through there, but ended up in Charlottesville by way of the United States Air Force. I was a veteran of the United States Air Force. I actually became a professional band nerd. I played saxophone in the Air Force. That was my job. Shout out to the United States Air Force, especially Commander Larry Lang in Washington, D.C. He was my old commander. Did that 5 years at Langley Air Force Base. That was where I got my first taste of Virginia life in Hampton. And then I was stationed at the United States Air Force's in Europe Band in Kaiserslautern, Germany. Came to the end of my second tour, thought I would get out of the Air Force, and thought, I'll go back to school, I'll get a doctorate in saxophone, I'll teach saxophone. That's, you know, living the dream. And began praying. Thought, before I make a major life decision, probably should pray about this. Was sitting in my living room in Germany one morning, having a quiet time, and felt the Lord say very clearly to me, why not seminary? And there are other people along the way who had encouraged my wife and I to consider full-time ministry. We had an unspoken agreement between the two of us. We are going to just be really involved lay people. That's all we're going to do. That's all we're going to do in the church for the rest of our life. We're going to be really involved lay people. I'm going to teach some Sunday school. We're going to play music in the church, but we're not going to go all the way in.
And you had kind of a box set up for you.
We knew exactly. We had a wonderful plan for our life, and we just needed God to rubber stamp that.
and then after this
time of prayer, my wife Gina and I were having a conversation. I can close my eyes and still see it. We were standing in our kitchen. We're in this foreign country, getting ready to move back to the United States, thinking about what we're doing next. What do you want to be when you grow up? And before I could stop myself, I said, I would be a pastor. And I could see the words like coming out of my mouth, kind of going between my mouth to her ears. And I couldn't reach out and, and grab them and pull them back and stop them.
And once it's spoken.
Once it's spoken.
No take back.
No take backs. Mm-hmm. She heard it, and we began praying, and the Lord began opening a lot of doors for us to end up eventually at Covenant Seminary in St. Louis.
Wonderful story. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with my friend Tag Tuck, And we're going to be right back with more Everyday Faith Radio in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Monticello Media, partnering with Virginia Blood Services and the American Cancer Society, invite you to a life-saving blood and platelet drive Sunday, August 6th from 11 until 5 at Albemarle Square. Blood supplies are critically low for cancer patients and the critically ill, and you can make a difference by donating blood or platelets. Special activities from 12 until 3, meet your local heroes from the fire department and sheriff's office, along with bounce houses and face painting. Have some fun and help save a life. August 6th from 11 until 5 at Albemarle Square.
The Charlottesville Tom Sox are in the Valley League Baseball Championship Series for the first time ever. And if you can't make it out to the ballpark, catch all the play-by-play action live on the radio on our sister station, Seville 107.5 FM WCHV. This special radio coverage of Tom Sox baseball is brought to you by Bold Rock Hard Cider, crushed and crafted in the Blue Ridge. Cho Airport, remember to check Cho first. Arosti Rehab Center, they fix pain fast. And by Trinity Irish Pub, down on the UVA corner. Game one is tomorrow night at 7 on our sister station, Seville 107.5 FM WCHV.
Then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. And with us on the program today, we have my friend Tag Tuck with us. And Tag, I want to hear about how you eventually ended up in Charlottesville. But first, I want to poke at this. You mentioned something about your faith journey where you started reading God's Word, reading the Bible, and it started drawing you in, and you talked as if you were having a conversation with God's Word. In other words, you would ask a question and God's Word would answer. Could you flesh that out just a little bit more, or maybe give us an example?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I think all of us come to the Bible with glasses on, you know, in some way, shape, or form. We read the Bible through some kind of lens. It can be the lens of skepticism. I'm skeptical about this book. I think this is a patriarchal book. I think this is a book of, you know, a lot of people make the mistake of saying it's a dead white European male book. And if you come with those lenses and read it, you can get some really crazy things out of it. One of my favorite theologians is John Calvin, and what he talks about, this idea of reading spectacles. But what God's Word does is it actually will, if you're really engaging it honestly, it will start to clean the spectacles for you. So as you come and you become more honest with the text and give it the benefit of the doubt, much like if I were to have a conversation with you, if I walked up and I said, man, Jeff Gaffney, you know, he's in real estate, and this is what I think about guys who are in real estate, and then anything you say, I'm going to put through that lens. Mm-hmm. But if I say, well, Jeff Gaffney's a guy, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm really going to try and listen to what he says. If we do that with the Bible, when we observe what's written there, mm-hmm. then you have a better opportunity to interpret what's coming out of it, and then to be able to apply it to your own life. So those are kind of like the three most basic steps in Bible reading are observe, interpret, and apply. Mm-hmm. The greatest abuses in Bible reading are to skip over observation and to jump to application too quickly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in the church we call that playing Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So if you go back and observe, and observe again, and observe with your adult mind. And if you're honest with yourself and honest with what you read, and do the best you can to give it the benefit of the doubt as you're reading, you'll find that you will, it just enriches what you find there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the promise. This is what makes the Bible different than any other book. And even if you don't believe that, you say, that's a lot of Christian stuff, I'm not really, you know, I don't really buy that. There's a sense in which I challenge you to keep reading, even just as a good scholar would read it, and mm-hmm. and see if you don't find in there a truth deeper than any truth you've experienced or found. Mm.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Tag Tuck. And Tag, I like asking that question because I spent probably 40 years of my life without ever really reading the Bible. Mm. And did the church thing, heard kind of some of your faith journey, but my world changed incredibly and all for the better when I started reading. And not just, and when I heard your story, I got sucked in to the Bible. I saw myself in the Word. I saw Jesus ministering to me. Just today, I'm reading, not to go too far off tangent here, but just today I'm reading John chapter 5.
Yeah.
And it's the man at the Bethesda gate or pool, I guess they call it. And so he's been there for 37 years, I think they say. He's 37 years, he's lame, and Jesus walks up to him and says, "Do you want to be made whole?" That's the King James Version. And then I flip it over to the Amplified Version. "Do you want to be made well?" I think another one of the translations says, "Do you want to be complete?" And I just kind of stayed on that question from Jesus, and I just kind of sat and meditated on that. And by the way, my mother's listening to this show. Born and raised in Bethesda, Maryland, and so to find that Bethesda connection, I was just like, "Well, okay." I like John chapter 5 for
absolutely
a lot of reasons, but just that sense of it's sort of the story of my life, really, Tag. And I'm sorry for hogging the mic,
but it was
that question: do you want to be made whole?
Right. Jesus pulls an intervention on this guy.
Yeah.
You know, you think, Jesus, you're not very PC here. Here's a guy who is lame at the pool, and his first question is, do you want this?
Right.
Do you want this? But there was so much superstition around what was going on. And there's so much, that's the whole thing, right? There's so much superstition around religion. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of honest skeptics that you run into today, they are trying to reject that. They see it. You know, your skeptical friends, my skeptical friends, they see the superstition around religion. They see Christians who believe the Bible but don't read the Bible. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I think that's one of the challenges for us as believers is to make sure that we're really reading closely. So that's admirable and exciting that not just reading the King James but also getting into the Amplified and then meditating on it, saying, "I'm going to get in here and not just, not just download myself onto the story, but let, you know, observe it on the first level. What is it? What does the text actually say?
Right.
And then what does that text, what would that text actually do for the first readers of it? And then to let it land on you and say, well, what does that mean for me?" And if you go in that order all the time, then that is really that's really how we meditate on the Word. It's not emptying our mind in a transcendental meditation, but it's really taking in this deep the deep truths of the Word that are there and allowing them, praying them really into your heart until they light it on fire, and you make those connections and that sense of Jesus does this intervention. Do you want to be made whole? He does it on that man. And when you're reading it, you know, the first readers read that and they go, "Oh, wow. Jesus isn't into this religious superstition. He's the one who can make this man stand up," and he does it. And then when we read it, the same, you know, we find that the same arrow is pointing right at your heart and at my heart when we read it. Mm-hmm. And there are so many moments like that in Scripture.
Yes.
I think of like the end of Jonah. Right. It has such a weird ending. And a lot of people, you know, if you read it on first glance, you get to the end of Jonah and it says, should I not care for that great city? And Jonah's mad and it just kind of trails off. And people go, well, this is obviously, you know, not finished or redacted or something. No, actually, if you sit with it for a minute, all of a sudden you realize the arrow is pointed not at Jonah's heart, but at yours. But you have to sit with Scripture in order to do that and let those things hit. And when we do, God shows up.
Mm-hmm.
God shows up.
And once you've had an encounter with Jesus, kind of taking this to a different level, but then if you've experienced the living God, if you've had an encounter with Jesus, and then you read the Word, and you have that question, and I see it that Jesus is really asking it to me in a very gentle way, and I take it personally, Jeff, do you want to be made whole? And then I'd think back, then all of a sudden I freeze frame right there and I review the film of my life and I think about all the different ways I was trying to make myself whole.
Oh, say it.
And, you know, I grew up worshiping at the throne of sports. And then through success in business, that's got to do it, right? Being successful in business, won't that make you whole? Won't that make you, won't that provide the meaning that you're searching for in your life? If you're the CEO of a real estate company, doesn't that do it for you? No. There's so many that we've had on this program who have talked about how they climb to the top of the ladder only to find that it doesn't fill. And that's that great. Until you meet this man, Jesus, you will not be made whole.
That's absolutely right. That is absolutely right. And, another thing that happens with Christians is we will get into this thing where we'll say, after we have Jesus, this was another part of my story, was I felt like I walked around with a bag of my own works. And grace was Jesus kind of topping me off, getting me the rest of the way there. So it was like, God, I'm going to try and make you happy by being the best me that I can be. And I had a friend tell me the other day that sometimes I come across like a Boy Scout. And I said, oh, I haven't told you enough of my family life. but there's a very large part of my story that is coming with who can I make happy? Whose expectations can I meet and fulfill? Can I fulfill my parents or teachers or, you know, other folks? Can I fulfill their expectations? And if I can't, then I need grace. And Jesus will just top me off on that. It's like, no, the biggest way that truth landed on me was, around 1999, I was in a men's Bible study, sitting in a guy's living room. He was talking about free grace, and he was talking about the fact that there's nothing we bring to the table, that there's nothing we bring except our sin, and Jesus gives us his righteousness all the way. He's loved us all the way. God moved first when we couldn't help ourselves. And it, like he was talking about this in a Bible study. And what hit me was this thing that had happened, to me just a couple of years earlier. It was at Christmas time. Christmas was always a really rough time around our house. We didn't have a whole lot of money and it gave us a lot of anxiety. And, as a result, my father was always seemingly like at a low level of anger around the holidays. And that always made them a pretty rotten time for me. And one Christmas, I was just feeling so rotten. I went out and I bought a gift card for my mom, my dad, and my grandmother. And I did it because the store would give me a credit card. And this was before I had any clue what credit, how credit cards worked and what APR was or any of that. So I didn't have any money to pay these credit cards back, but I thought I could pay the minimum amount. I didn't realize that doesn't really work. And what ended up happening was my grandmother called my mother. She knew what had happened. She called my mother and she said, I'm going to pay Tag's credit card bill. He doesn't know what he's gotten himself into. And she did. And when my mother called me back, my mother called me, let me know that my grandmother had done that. I was really angry at first until about 4 years later when I was sitting in this Bible study and I realized this is the moment where the penny dropped for me. I had gotten myself into something that I couldn't get myself out of. And my grandmother got me out of it before I even realized how bad it was. And that's what Jesus does.
Yeah, that's a great
We've
example.
Gotten ourselves into something that we can't get ourselves out of. And Jesus died for us while we were still sinners.
Tag, Tuck, I'm going to have to get you back on this show because there's so much more to talk about.
There always is.
Oh, well, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Tag, thank you so much for joining us. To you, to your family, to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Thanks for joining us. Tag, thanks again.
Thank you.